Welcome to yet another exciting season of Sisters in Conversation, the podcast. I'm your host, Tebelo Motsane. I'm an attorney by profession and the founder of a platform called Sister in Law, which is a platform dedicated to empowering women through legal education. On this podcast, I profile women of color in the legal profession in an attempt to celebrate their contribution to the profession. We journey through their individual stories of perseverance and resilience and overcoming challenges like imposter syndrome, racism, and sexism, to name a few. I hope you're geared up for what promises to be another insightful, informative, and empowering season. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to this podcast. Welcome to another episode of Sisters in Conversation. I'm your host, Tebelo Motsane. I'm an attorney by profession and the founder of a platform called Sister in Law, which is a platform dedicated to empowering women through legal education. On today's episode, I'm joined by Natasha Lord. Natasha is a tax specialist who focuses on empowering people with tax information, giving them tools to address their taxes in a way that gives them confidence. Her multinational firm has been in business for 7 years and has worked with individuals and businesses in and around Johannesburg, Rustenburg, Cape Town, and Zambia, where her team of professionals help make the complicated tax stuff more simple through offering trustworthy tax, accounting, and business services. She has built her career around helping others get an understanding of what's going on with their finances and tax so they can make smart decisions about how to move forward and be confident. If you're looking for someone who can help you navigate the world of taxes and give you advice that will actually make sense, then look no further than Natasha Lord. Natasha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. How are you? That is an impressive bio, and I'm so excited that everybody who listens to the podcast suggested you. And it's always such a pleasure learning about people like you from the people who I think, are supposed to be inspired by this show end up inspiring me.
That's amazing. I'm so glad that your listeners referred me to you. I think it's a great buy-in from both our sides. So I'm very excited to be here today and to chat to you.
Thank you. Thank you for agreeing to speaking to us today. So Natasha, let's start from the very beginning of who you are. You know, let us into who is Natasha? Where were you born and raised? Were you raised by your parents, a single parent, grandparents, maybe an aunt? Which primary school did you go to, and how did primary school shape you? How did high school shape you? Can we get into a little bit of that?
Okay. So I was born originally in Zambia, came here when I was 9 months old. I basically moved around a lot. I lived in Cape Town, a couple of places. I spent most of my life in Cape Town. I think in total, I spent about 16 years in Cape Town. Mm. I stayed there with my mom and my dad for some time and just kind of moved around a bit, and then came to Joburg again and did a bit of school there, did high school and primary school in Joburg and in Cape Town. So it's been up and down, and I spent a bit of time in Botswana as well for primary school. So that's basically the context of my younger years. And then I basically just started working quite early, quite young. And I also did, you know, even in school, I was kind of entrepreneurial. I basically would like sell makeup products, because at some stage when I was 16, I worked at a store in the mall, and all the kids from the high school basically would go there and buy makeup and nail polish and all of these things. And I was like, I can sell the exact same products cheaper. So yeah, I did a little bit of this and that, and I eventually branched out and got some people to sell a bit of makeup for me as well and do manicures and all of that, until I had to leave and go to Cape Town again. So and then I think at the end of high school, I called a meeting with a couple of people, and we were going to do a fashion brand, as everybody was going to do. back in the day. But I ended up just doing accounting, which I eventually grew to love. I didn't enjoy it in the beginning. I thought it was deathly boring. Well, the concept of it, I don't think through experience I've been like, this is one of the most fun industries that I could have found myself in. But I always thought I was going to end up in the medical sphere or the medical industry. And alas, I'm here and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I think it's akin. I think that a lot of the there can be a lot of kind of things drawn. We do this diagnosis and prognosis and figuring stuff out and trying to find the best way. It's always kind of unique. You always have to pay attention to the personal clients in front of you. You've got to understand more than just what's happening right now. You've got to understand their life context to give them the best service possible. So I think I look over to the medical sphere and industry and draw a bit of inspiration in terms of how to holistically take a look at my clients and their cases. Yeah, and then I ended up just doing a couple of audit cases. I didn't actually intend to go into tax, but I ended up doing a couple of audit cases, and I realized I actually thoroughly enjoy this. So I really started specializing it, and now also specializing in terms of international tax law and all of those things.
Sure, thank you. So did you do university at UCT? You moved back to Cape Town, you said, or did you do university back in Botswana? I just missed that link there.
So university, I actually did it online while working. That way I got the practical side while working. And also because I was not really a fan of traditional university. I didn't, because I didn't really enjoy school, the social element of it. I think I've only come to enjoy the social element that I've curated intentionally in my life now. Back then, I think I didn't. I There was a time when you have to kind of a period in my life where I had to kind of grow up quite quickly. And so when I was among my peers, I just couldn't particularly relate. I always found myself relating to people a little bit further ahead or further on in life with a little bit more life experience under their belt. And that wasn't to say that, that my peers were awful or anything like that. It's just that, life happens and you start to see life a little bit differently when you've gone through different things, So I wasn't really up for another 4 years of those types of conversations and that type of social dynamic and setup. I just didn't find the same things interesting or entertaining. And that's okay. I mean, it was just different spaces and different things that I had kind of come to know about myself, and I was comfortable with myself. And so I went and worked with my dad at his accounting firm, which ultimately became our accounting firm, which I still part own. So I part own about two I part own that firm, and then I've got my own firm as well. But in a sense that I thought, you know what, let me rather just kill two birds with one stone, get the real life practical experience, and then also start doing the studies and getting all of those under my belt. So yeah, I did a bit of that, did a bit of psychology, did a bit of behavioral economics, a little bit of neuroscience, yeah, a couple of other things here and there as well, and then obviously moving on into tax law and so forth. But it just helped me accelerate the studying process a little bit more, and I could learn a lot more in the 4 years than what I perceived university would, kind of maybe waste a little bit of my time. I just wanted to get up there and, start living a little bit. But again, everybody has different routes. I just thought that this route made sense for me, and I'm quite happy with that because it helped me get my 10,000 hours in. It helped me get, running a business for 7 years now, and even prior to that, then working for a little bit. So, I it just helped me get to where I ultimately wanted to be a lot faster.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that, because a lot of the time, I really like what you said about you were not feeling the traditional varsity route, which I think is very important, because a lot of people tend to overlook what is it called? Distant learning. So through UNISA, for example, a lot of people tend to overlook that, and Yes, sure. It doesn't give you that in-person varsity experience, but like you said, it's not for everybody. And I think it's the sooner people identify that they can make the most out of distant learning, the better. I think the challenge always comes with just only focusing on that. Whereas you were able to diversify, like you said, you got in your 10,000 hours. And I specifically just want to also say to students, my listenership is mostly students studying law, and most actually have come to me with just advice like, how do I navigate this distant learning? I'm really battling to find discipline in, just allocating time to study and going over the topics myself and whatnot. And I really think it's important for somebody in that position to learn from you that it is actually possible to pursue getting going, putting yourself out there and getting the 10,000 hours practically, because the information that we learn in a lecture room is so different to the practical side of actually doing, practicing law or practicing accounting. So I think it's very important that you've mentioned that you are able to gain the practical experience concurrently instead of now having that challenge of trying to piece what you learn from varsity with practical when you're now post-varsity and you are struggling with the onboarding process because your two worlds aren't merging almost seamlessly, So thank you so much for sharing that. I also just want to add that
Anytime.
I also just want to add that yes, I had noticed that you own an accounting firm and you studied accounting, but the aspects that I really wanted you to come and highlight for us was that I have a lot of law students who are overwhelmed specifically by tax and tax law, and you did touch on the fact that you branched out into a little bit of tax law. Can you explain to somebody who has an interest but isn't quite sure what they would be getting themselves into? What are the sort of daily issues that overlap with the legal profession that you can highlight for us?
So I wouldn't really know too much about the day-to-days of a legal profession. I know my friend is a conveyancer and she's in law, and I see a little bit of things and I kind of geek out when she tells me about her character, how she does her work and all of that. I guess it's just the thing of creating a story that makes sense. Obviously law has its many facets, but when it comes to tax law, it's if you're going to have some sort of a strategy, a financial strategy, it needs to be underpinned by some sort of precedent that makes sense. You need to be able to, when you are doing something or advising a client, and especially because we also do the financial side of things with our clients, we need to be able to explain why it is that we're going this route and not that route. And typically, because people already have a lot of layers when it comes to their emotions and feelings towards tax, it's always very difficult when presenting alternative routes that might be cost effective to them. And so you always need to have your ducks in a row when it comes to that, because a lot of the things that we do might not be the traditional sense, but they might be the most optimized sense or the most optimized route. And in so doing, we need to be able to say, well, it's because this portion of the law, which is meant for this type of, incentive, is not being used or is not being acknowledged. And so we come in with understanding that, or when somebody, wants to understand if they're going to go into a different business endeavor or business venture, whether it's onshore or offshore, if they're starting up a new business, if they're wanting to head a different division of their business, they need to understand which tax events are going to be created from that. So it's understanding that, yes, there might be some ideas that you might have, but is it a strategy that makes sense? So for instance, does it make sense for you to import or to ex to import and export? Is that going to be too tedious? Is that Is that a little bit too costly, a little bit too rigorous in terms of documentation, or is there a different way that you can go about it? So it helps you just kind of scope out how it is that you're going to go about business, because every single day of business will come to a moment of reckoning at the financial year end, and you need to be able to essentially understand why it is that you do what you do in your business, how it affects your taxes, and how your profit then leaks out through those tax holes that you create with what you do in your business. So I think we do, yes, we do business tax, also do personal tax, understanding how, again, how you live your life, how that affects your taxes, your relational status, your if you're traveling abroad, how long are you going for, your residency status, does it make sense, do you want to be a resident, a South African resident? If you're a South African citizen, do you abdicate your tax residency, or do you keep it, those types of things. So we it's really case by case. I can't really speak to how it might overlap again, because it's more about, I think you need to think about the way you like to think on a day-to-day basis. If you are always looking for specific certainties, perhaps it's not the way, because again, the tax law is like any kind of law. There's interpretive mechanisms, and we lean more to one side than to the other side. But in some instances, it's really just discretionary. It's case by case, and it will even say that in the law, or in interpretive notes. So I think it's cool. It's challenging. It's something that I don't mind looking up. It's like I come up with a creative idea. I remember what my one client said, that I'm like a tax architect. It's like you build a really cool building, in your mind.
I was about to say, it sounds like there's a little bit of creativity that goes into this process.
Yeah, because you're not just thinking about the tax. That's really beside the point. You're thinking about everything else. It's like you have an architect and you have a structural engineer. You can dream up a beautiful, beautiful vision or concept of a building or a house or a space, but then a structural engineer needs to say, well, is this in line with rules and regulations? Will it stand? Do we need to add these beams? What will hold it up? You have all of these types of things. How much rebar do you need in the foundations? Blah, 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 blah. And so there are two parts of your brain that get working. It's the, I want to say that this business is going to do this and it's going to be so cool, and you can involve these types of people and you can operate from these types of ways, and this is how you're going to optimize it, and this is how you're going to optimize your profits and your sales, and these are the potential marketing strategies, and that will go into a write-off. And then you have to get into the more statutory part of your brain that's like, well, will this withstand? Does it make sense? And what does it create when you do, build this kind of mechanism, this house, as it were? So it does initiate those parts. If you're really just trying to look for, rigid certainties, this, that, and the other, you'll miss the points of creativity that present themselves that you can then lean into, whilst, balancing these two seemingly opposing characteristics of being, steadfast logic and also just fluid and creative and seeing things in a different light, just so that this concept or this plan can work.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for that. While we're on the creative side of things, just through just from browsing your profile, Tax with Tash on Instagram, I really appreciate how you've made some of the daunting concepts of tax in itself. You've really packaged it in a way that's easy to understand. Like, the transition from, how Instagram is about like beauty and lifestyle and blah, 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 and people are usually on that for that. I really enjoy coming across educational content on Instagram because it doesn't trend as much as the beauty and lifestyle side of Instagram. But I like how seamless your reels are. Your reels are like, okay, we've just been scrolling for through 30 posts of beauty brands and whatever, and here's something that is enlightening, empowering, insightful. basically, I just want to commend you on creating a platform that has just packaged those concepts in an easy to digest manner, in an easy to digest manner.
Thank
And
you.
that really, firstly, goes hand in hand with what you mentioned earlier about how you didn't want to go the traditional varsity route. I see in your career, you also didn't want to go the traditional, like, you know, how strict accounting comes across and like you're in a box.
Exactly.
You really have packaged your accounting create accounting side of things, like that strict box. You've thought out of that box and created a very creative platform. So well done and thank you. We are undeserving.
Thank you so much. I mean, I think I got into a bit of an echo chamber within myself. I was like, oh, why should I do this? I remember praying, and God was like, yeah, you need to do this. You need to put the TikTok video out. I was like, TikTok, TikTok, really, TikTok, and I was just like, God, this is definitely not something I want to do. I don't want to dance, randomly on all these platforms and things. And I just remember being like, you know what, it's fine. And then I woke up the next morning at around 5 or 6 and started prepping for everything and just put it out there, and for me, I was like, but this is on the SARS website, or because it's simplified. It's not like I'm going into deep precedents and stuff like that. And I got such an interesting feedback to me. Now looking back, I'm like, well, of course, this makes sense, but that hindsight is always 20/20. When I was doing it, I was just like, I mean, nobody's really gonna care, nobody's really gonna think that this is interesting or anything, really. And I was just like, let me just be obedient and do what I'm told to do. And it's actually came out well, and I found that I do enjoy recording and editing and all of these things. So so I was like, okay, it's again my own. I think every person, regardless if you're a business owner or you're employed, every person needs to lead into their creative strengths, because there's something uniquely reflective about who you are in the weirdest of ways. And there's it's always the most like random things, like you would never think that, Bill Gates could like paint or something weird. Like a weird one is like Hitler. Like, how did he paint such beautiful work? Be so devious, you know what I mean? Like, every person, no matter who you are, has a unique creative power that influences your work. And I think that when you allow that to do that, it's again going against your status quo, what people think that you have to look like or be like, and you just lean into being yourself, both facets, you are able to do your job so much better, because it stops just being your job. It's just an extension of who you are. So a lot of people always ask, kind of career advice and this and that, and it is a good question, but it's a little bit reductionistic. What you really want to figure out is who you are, and all of these kind of side quests are sometimes really important. Go and do something completely opposite from what you're doing, and you'll actually find how much more powerful you are in what you're doing if you decide to do it. Go for an art class, go and dance, do something, and you'll see how much better a lawyer you might actually be, because it does something to your brain scientifically, but also it does something to the way you see things. You cannot be good at something when you're only seeing something from one angle. You're not seeing the full picture. So to become the most multifaceted person that you can become is the best thing you can do for going wherever you want to go.
Sure. I love that so much. So, you know, so much of what you've said just reminds me of how things were for me when I started Sustendo. It really also was one of those like 5 a.m. things. I remember very, very well. It was the 25th of May, 2016, and I just couldn't fall asleep because my heart was aching at the fact that I had finally just loudly admitted to myself that corporate is no longer for me, and specifically law firm is no longer for me. And I was battling so much with coming to terms with that because all I ever did in school was law. Like the plan was you're supposed to get this law degree and then go and do your articles, become admitted as an attorney, be an associate, senior associate, become a director by age 33, 35. And I knew that that was the journey that I was meant to take. So one day realizing that, yo, this is not for me, and realizing that I didn't have a plan B, I kept saying, I don't know how to sing, I don't know how to dance, I don't know how to do anything else. All I know is law. And it was really like one of the most tragic experiences that I went through. And I then just said, I've been people had been calling me sister-in-law as a joke. Then I then took that as a nickname. I was like, oh, sister-in-law. And I remember at 2 a.m. I was just like, let me check if this kind of handle is available on Instagram. If it is, I'm going to open this page called sister-in-law. And then what I'm going to do while I pursue another journey. At that time, the journey that I wanted to pursue was either marketing or journalism. So I was like, while I gather the faith and the courage to tell my parents that I'm actually going back to university, but this time I want to study marketing or journalism, let me rather just share some of the legal insights that I have, in an easy to understand manner. And that's exactly how the bio read. It was Sister-in-Law is a platform that shares legal insights in an easy to understand manner. And I shared a few posts on child maintenance. They got a little bit of, traction. And by the time I had 18 followers, the editor of True Love at the time was like, this is such an interesting thing that you're doing. Please can we feature you in the True Love magazine? And I promise you, I
Sure.
almost fell off my chair because I was like, ooh. Of the 18 people who follow this page, one of the people is, a true love. And that was the affirmation that I needed. And then I never looked back. I didn't understand what I wanted to do at the time, but I knew that it can't be corporate. And it was also scary that it possibly couldn't be law, but that was the affirmation that I needed at the time. And yeah, ever since I've just been doing exactly what you're doing, making it easy for people to understand some what are sometimes often complex legal issues.
I hear you. I think that's definitely a telltale sign that we look at the metrics completely wrong and we feel this weird gap and anxiety and just a weird feeling of stress that we look back and we're like, oh my goodness, what was that? And it's just a gap between us changing from what we've made ourselves to be and the rigidity of life. And again, I think rigidity is the one thing that will bring about so much anxiety within people. If you have one set way for how you think life should be experienced, it is going to be so hard to lean into the creativity of something bigger, something better, because you only work with what you know. And I think living, I've noticed that I don't have enough creativity to dream a good future for myself right now. All I have is to say, you know what, I know where I put my faith in, and I'm like, I know God has got me, and I know that that's good. And all the times I've experienced something really good in my life, it's not something that I wrote down in like a journal or a vision board or anything like that. It really caught me by surprise, and I would never have known to pray for that or to ask for that or to work toward that. So I think we undermine the beauty of the surprises of good that life has for us if we just stick to doing what we need to do that day, which is to make sure that we are true to ourselves and we are we, like you say, you confront the fact and you sometimes walk not necessarily blindly, but you know that you know that you know. And I think that's why it is very important to understand yourself so that if anything, you have a North Star to say, this space, this place doesn't make sense for me. It might make sense when I tell the story to other people. It really might make sense on paper, but to me, it doesn't make sense because I know me. But the moment we use other people's opinions as data points of who we are, we'll always live in this weird gap because we are not able to fulfill that. We're not able to live filled by that, you know? Definitely when you do step into your spaces, it's going to be so surprising that what's meant for you comes so easy to you, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I also remember, like, I started my page with 30 followers, and I've done all of this since last year, June, and so much has happened. And yeah, the page has grown. But more than that, I think even just the friends that I've made from it are just, it's incredible. Because I remember just sitting and praying for relationships the year. For a whole year, I prayed for good quality relationships. And if you had told me that posting that, you know, 1 minute video on TikTok would lead to amazing friendships and relationships, I wouldn't have been able to draw that map, you know. I wouldn't have been able to draw that map. And I think we think we're great at drawing maps, and we suck. There is no way you're going to be your best self and know how to get there step by step, because if you did, you would be there. There's just no way. So when we resist, we take longer to actually, again, the side quests are just as important. It's okay, you know, if you lose your job, maybe that's freeing up space and capacity to do something else. And if you can see that it's okay, you'll see the things that make it okay. If you see that it's not okay, you'll only see the things that don't make it okay. Contrary to what people think, just knowing what you don't want doesn't give you what you want. Knowing what you don't want focuses you on what you don't want, and it will give you more of what you don't want, because that's where your eyes are. That's what your eyes are looking out at, and that's what you're looking out for. But if you're looking out for what you do want, that's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to draw nearer to. That's what you're going to keep into your space and be quick to recognize. So a lot of people just have in mind that they don't want certain things, and they end up living very, you know, different lives. But once you, you know, graduate from that, because that's 50% of the equation, but once you graduate from, this is what I don't want, but this is what I want, you start getting closer and closer to kind of the person that you are. And that person can only exist in a certain space, and so the space becomes a byproduct of that. So again, my space is, I'm a tax specialist. That's a byproduct of the person that I am. It's something, yes, I pursue, it's something that I do, but it's also that the person that I am, it can only really exist in this space like this, you know. And and again, there's so many possibilities for who I can be. I could be a really good, great tax specialist. I could be a really great, you know, marketing person. I could be so many things. And so just allowing life to bring those things out of you at different capacities and at different times is very, it's up to us to do that, so that we can really live out who we are supposed to be.
Sure. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think, you know, one thing that I just want to also add on to taking the road less traveled, or not necessarily tapping into the traditional side of things, is that wearing the many hats, you know, when you work for yourself, or when you work for a small family run business as you and your dad do, it really allows you to, it's empowering basically to know a little bit of everything, right? Because here you are now, I mean, you with your videos, you mentioned that you do your own editing, capturing the captions, or ensuring that the lighting is great. Just basically running a business really needs you to tap into a little bit of everything. And I think that's empowering. There are certain things that I never would have learned if I stuck to being at a traditional law firm. It almost just teaches you to be independent in a lot more things, if you obviously open up yourself to that learning, and, you know, not be one of those people that run a business, but are able to outsource everything from the get-go.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, it helps you refine your vision. I mean, now in bringing on a team to do digital marketing, and there are things that I will not be able to focus my time on. Yes, business owners can are usually be able to figure stuff out, but there's certain things that I just don't want to think about. But it helps you know where to start and where to stop, and you don't just those lessons, you don't just drop them, right? And again, it teaches you, it's so character building. If content day doesn't go right, this doesn't, you're just constantly learning how to do something new again, which is so fundamental to human beings, but it is also antithetical to what we are looking for in life. We're always kind of looking for certainty, knowing I don't want to feel stupid, I don't want this, I don't want that. But if you are growing as a person, you're starting from the bottom of the learning curve, you are going to mess up and suck and not be great at something, and then work your muscles to be at least okay at something. We don't have to be experts at everything, but just okay at something. Enough for you to say, well, I want this as a vision. Enough for you to have started the process of momentum and inertia, and then have people pick up from that and develop that. But I think people don't start because they think that they should already be at full speed, and it's like, no, you need to push, you need to push the boulder a little bit. It's gonna feel heavier than you at some stage. You're gonna have to put all your might into it, and then it's gonna feel lighter because it starts to carry itself. But there's nothing that's not how everything starts. And so it's really good to kind of remind yourself that you are always doing something more and something new, because you feel that pushback, and then it starts to carry itself, and you're like, okay, this is actually going, this is making sense. But yeah, I think we're just very used to ready-made things. We're used to, I don't need to start from scratch and do this, or we think that we're somehow wrong because it's not going in a very linear A to equals B equals C. It's that's just not how life works. And I think those moments just interrupt our perception and allow us to be okay with the ups and downs and lefts and rights. But that happens with everything. I think people think because you study for 4 years that then you're entitled to some sort of smooth sailing, because that was a dream that people sold you, and that doesn't work. It does not work. We have to be so much more. We need to bring so much more to the table than just the fact that you've stared into a book for 4 years. There has to be more. And okay, experience is great, but how is that your unique strength? What does that mean to me? If I'm bringing someone into my organization, I need to know what they want, who they want to be, not what they want to do. That's just me. I know that organizations may not work like that, but people work like that. So if anybody's going to be retained in a space, they need to feel like they're actually becoming more themselves. And if you're going to excel in any kind of capacity, you can only excel being yourself, because that's the easiest thing to do. But putting on these different masks in order to tick boxes because you think then you're going to be accepted and then you don't, that's a crushing reality to live.
Yeah,
And
that's
so people, I think we need to rethink each work and how we go about kind of qualifying ourselves before we get into spaces.
Sure. Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Sure. Thank you so much for sharing that, Tash. And then, earlier I touched a little bit on working with your dad, running a family-owned business. What are some of the challenges, and what are some of the rewards that you can share with us from running a family-owned business and specifically working with your dad?
I think I can't really think of too many challenges right now. I think the biggest rewards are obviously you get to learn from someone who's a little bit more patient. I do think I tend to be a bit of a fast learner, but looking back, I think he did let me just make certain decisions, just for me to make the decisions and see how they play out. It's always good, I think, to be. I didn't get any kind of slack. I do think that because I was much younger than everybody else and had way less experience, I obviously had to work a lot harder to figure things out. And stay a lot later and just a whole bunch of things, but it was easier for me to kind of have that space. So that for me is a unique, I would say, privilege in my own story. You know, to be able to do that is really great. In the beginning, of course, I didn't really think of it that way because I didn't want to do accounting. But being on the other side of it where I'm here, I'm like, look, that was a really, really good starting space for me to learn very practical skills that made the studying a lot easier. Because there is quite a big divorce between the practical side of things and also then the studying side. It's a little bit outdated. I mean, SARS 5 years ago. It's very different from now, 4 years ago. So by the time someone starts their degree and finishes their degree, the systems in which their degree are supposed to pay out have changed.
Sure.
Ball game has changed. The landscape has shifted. So it's great to have theoretical knowledge, but if you can't be able to
adapt,
know how to adapt, it's very tricky. And a person then becomes redundant, right? So it's very important to work on that skill more than anything. Can I take something that I know and be okay with asking questions and, you know, figuring things out, or else you're just going to kind of not be ever good at it. You know, by the time something new comes up, that's when you're good at the old thing. But I think some of the downsides, perhaps, it was, yeah, I think, It's people dynamics, right? So working with family, working with friends, it's always a bit tricky. You go home with the person you might be disagreeing with in a personal front. I think, though, because the person that I am, I'm not sure why, but I'm really able to completely deal with things separately. So I can be really annoyed with you professionally and hang out with you just fine and have a glass of wine and laugh about life, because those two things for me in my mind are very different. Even if it's the same person, I treat them completely differently. But I think if I were a person who couldn't separate or compartmentalize, it might be different. I think that might be a thing of that. There's an element of family dynamics, and when you're a family dynamic, there's obviously a different way you relate than versus being business partners. So but I am quite an assertive person. So I'm not really, I don't lack the confidence to say what I feel and what I see to be true based off maybe data points or just a gut feel or whatever it may be. And so, yeah, it depends. I think I am grateful for the time I had, and I did my own thing when I felt it was relevant to. And yeah, every part of it, I think I was true to myself and what I did.
Thank you. I think just from, you know, hearing your story, your journey and experience through your career, the words that I want to sort of attach to you is flexibility, fluidity, adaptability. I think that's the person you've come across throughout this entire interview. You know, you're really not somebody who has boxed themselves and stuck to the strict side of rules or what something's supposed to look like. So I really, really love that about you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Sure. So, but okay, this sort of then makes me feel like I know what the answer to my next question is. So towards the end of each interview, I ask you one question which comes from the previous guest on the show. So they don't know who's the next guest on my show. So they're supposed to leave a question for the next guest. So the question that was left for you is, if there's anything you would do different in pursuing this journey, what would it be? And I feel like now I already know the answer. But please,
actually, yeah, I think dealing with childhood trauma or just dealing with my emotions much easier earlier in life. I think that would have been that would have catapulted me much further, much sooner, because it really changed the way that I did business. Again, all that I'm saying right now is as a result of me kind of leaning into processing where I came from, who I am now, all the subconscious kind of beliefs I held about myself, due to my environment or whatever it might be. But we all kind of carry around this unconscious unbelief of something about ourselves or our future. And I do dream big, yes, ambitious, yes, that. But so long as you carry around an unconscious belief, you will kind of, there'll be this silent assassin everywhere you go of your progress, you know, just in the shadows, pew, you don't see it, you don't understand why is this happening. And it's like, it's, you know, and so kind of delving deep into the things that I've pushed down into an unconscious space and being very conscious. And I'm grateful for my mind for being able to allow myself to be introspective. I mean, you can introspect every 10 seconds. And allowing myself to be conscious of small things like, how do you feel in the space? Are you clenching your jaw? How are you breathing right now? All of these cues that I can take from my body, I can take from my mind. How are you feeling? What are you thinking? You know, those types of things. And I was always very, again, interested in psychology, studied psychology, and did all of that. But I think really personalizing it for myself and looking at the spaces that perhaps I didn't want to look at or I thought didn't matter because, oh, I can do the work well. What does it matter? It matters a whole lot. Dealing with the things that make you afraid, dealing with being open and vulnerable, and you know, all of that. I think it made a huge shift in my business. And even things like, you know, doing interviews and podcasts, I definitely wouldn't have done that in the past just because I didn't like questions being too personal or what's, you know, I didn't like that. So it's still an adjustment, but I am learning to understand that I value good, like it good connections or, you know, those types of conversations that really could make you go, oh yeah, that makes sense. And that only really happens when you are also allowing yourself to be open. And so really investigating what is it that's closing you up, what is it that you value that's at risk when you do that, you know, you've been taught to just kind of protect and blah, you know. So I've really leaned into self-discovery, understanding that I'm living with myself till death do us part. And so I need to have a really good relationship with myself. And that doesn't always mean I'm happy. It just means that when I'm in the worst spaces, I can actually be able to sit with that and not try and stop it, you know, or not try and to make it better or distract or anything like that, but to really lean into the moment and understand and ask myself the question, why does this matter to you? And that tells me something about myself. So I think that was a pivotal journey, personal journey that I wish I had done sooner, but it's still okay, you know, it's part of the journey. But if I could do it sooner, I would have done it, yeah, much sooner.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Tesh, for sharing that with us and for sharing your journey so beautifully with us. Thank you for sharing your story so beautifully with us. As we come to the real close of the show, is there anything that you'd like to share with the listeners that I haven't asked you anything really? Fun fact about you, fun fact about tax, any interesting current affairs that you'd like to share with us? Anything that I haven't asked at all that you think would be of interest to the listener?
Fun fact is, I think there's a lot of new cool, I would say cool because I'm a tax nerd, but new developments in the tax world. And so definitely people should start paying a lot more attention to their tax, because the option to not is slowly disappearing, actually quickly disappearing, I should say. And so, yeah, people, just to make sure that we protect our legacies and we protect these things, we should be able to look at these issues and at least plan around them and get checked up. Again, just like you go to a doctor, get your tax situation checked up. Have someone look underneath the counters and see what's going on, because a lot of times it gets hidden and we think that that is really hidden. It's not, it's just kind of still there. Just we need to deal with it. So yeah, that's what I would say. There are a lot of developments, and the time for not being able to pay attention to that is coming to a close.
Sure. Thank you. Yo, sounds like you're dragging me there. I'll be in touch with you offline.
Absolutely, I got you. I got you.
You
We'll
trust
chat
me
about
when you said protect your legacy. I'm like, okay, that's definitely me. So
it. That's good. Yeah,
definitely
a
going to
conversation to be
be.
had.
I'm definitely going to be in touch with you online. Thank you so much, Tash. We have come to the end of our session. Thank you so much for your time and for agreeing to share your story with us. I am confident in the fact that what you've shared with us today is going to change people's lives. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope your listeners do, yeah, enjoy the episode. And I've had a great time sitting and chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Tesh. Bye.